Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, we have an open line for you right now. We'd like to hear from you at 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. All month we've been talking about the grace of God, my favorite subject, and it's the most relevant subject as you and I are concerned, because it is our connection to God. Apart from the grace of God, we are lost. Yes. We are still dead in sin without hope in this world. But because of the grace of God, because God chose to act on our behalf in Jesus Christ, we experience salvation. We go from death to life, and we're made into new creatures in Christ, and we can experience His life to the full by faith. So grace is everything for you and me. There's not a story more important than the story of grace.
No.
And it's interesting to me that the very last verse of the Bible, and very few people know what the last verse of the Bible is. I've asked that question at conferences and at speaking engagements, and nobody can answer. But here it is, and I love it. It says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. So at the beginning of the Bible, we see God. He's the character. He's the main character. He is the star of the book. And He's made Himself known to us through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is our connection to the story of grace. And the very last note that the Word of God strikes for you and me is this note of grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. So John ends his revelation on that note. Paul ends almost every single one of his letters on that same note. Peter ends his letters on that same note. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, "I have written to you briefly about the true grace of God. Stand firm in it." And then in his second letter at the end, he says, "Grow in the grace of God and in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." So grace is the story. Grace is God's story for mankind. And Jesus Christ is that point of connection. Apart from Christ, we're going to be just miles and miles away from the story God wants us to experience, and that is the story of grace.
Indeed. Well, it's a wonderful story, and we get to share it with our listeners every day. And friends, we hope you're listening and hoping you're taking good notes as you listen. 844-322-2742, that's a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. We would love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. And Bob, we had this call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hi, I'm a longtime listener, and I am very grateful for your ministry and how you're continually bringing attention back to our Lord Jesus Christ. My question has to do with losing one's salvation. A recent sermon that I heard said that it is possible for a person to lose their salvation if they deliberately and continually turn away from Jesus, accepting Him as Lord and Savior. And the scripture that was referenced was Hebrews 10, 23 through 27. I'd like to hear what you all have to say on this subject, because it seems like a very important matter. Thank you very much, and God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you so much for calling. And boy, that is a troubling passage in Hebrews chapter 10. And really, the trouble begins in verse 26 when we read these words, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." So we think about sinning in terms of the things that we do, adultery or stealing or slander and that sort of thing. And here he's really talking about the rejection of Christ, the rejection of truth. So this was written for Hebrews, to a Hebrew audience, a Hebrew audience that had received Christ, but then in the midst of persecution, were contemplating turning back to Judaism. And so the writer is constantly encouraging these Hebrews to stay firm, to stand firm with their confession. So here's the story of Hebrews chapter 10. It's a story about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So the writer compares the sacrifices made under the law, the sacrifices of bulls and goats, and he looks at the effectiveness of those sacrifices in comparison to the effectiveness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So he says the law is but a shadow. It's not the reality. And those sacrifices that were offered under the law could never make perfect those who draw near. And then it says those sacrifices, it's impossible for those sacrifices to take away sins. So if you're gonna retreat from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and go back to those Old Testament sacrifices, you're going back to a shadow.
Yeah.
You're going back to something that is not the reality. It's just a shadow of the reality. You're going back to something that could not take away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus was of such value, of such worth, of such power that it could take away your sins once and for all.
Yeah.
So if he's saying if you go on sinning deliberately, and that means rejecting this information about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that's what he says, after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, Jesus sacrificed himself once for all. He offered himself to the Heavenly Father. The Father received the sacrifice on behalf of all people of the entire world.
Right.
Now, there's not going to be another sacrifice like that. So if you reject the one sacrifice that took away your sins, there's no other sacrifice that you can make. There's no other sacrifice that you can rely upon. There's no other sacrifice that you can turn to. So you are without hope. And as he says, what you're going to live with is a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. You've become an adversary in rejecting Christ Jesus. So if you've rejected the blood of Jesus, you're not a Christian. You've never been a Christian.
Right.
You cannot reject the blood of Jesus and be a believer ever. So once you're saved, I mean, you're standing firmly on that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And God's Spirit is confirming that this sacrifice was sufficient. So we read up in verse 17. Actually in verse 15, and the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant I will make with them, he adds, I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. And where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. So the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, and the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with our human spirit that our sins have been dealt with once and for all, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the once for all offering of Jesus Christ. And he's saying that was so sufficient, there's no longer necessary a sacrifice moving forward.
Yeah.
Jesus's was enough. So this passage isn't directed toward believers, this passage in Hebrews 10, 26 through 29. It is directed toward those who are lost, who are kind of sitting on the fence, who are turning back toward the sacrifices of the old covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Said, if you're going to reject the sacrifice of Jesus, then all you have is a fearful expectation of judgment. So those of us who have received Christ, who have been born again, who have been made new, We have God's Spirit living in us, and God's Spirit is going to continually testify that the blood of Jesus was sufficient.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, this is good news from Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're with us. We have an open line for you. If it's roughly 10 minutes past the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, it's Basic Gospel Live, and you can speak directly with us and pose your question. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and again, we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. And friends, we appreciate your partnership with us, and when you make your gift to support Basic Gospel before the end of this month, which, of course, right now is only 2 days away, be sure to request your copy of Gateway to Grace, a 6-message series and study guide to equip you to live your life firm in the truth of God's grace. It's an excellent resource that we're sharing with our supporters. So friends, before the month ends, as I said, just 2 days away, be sure to click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Gateway to Grace. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, another call that came in overnight was this one.
Well, hi there. I've been a long-time listener, and I really enjoy listening to your all's ministry, and it certainly has been helpful. But my question to you is, there is a certain church in my area that does not think that Revelation is relevant to us today, and they think that everything in Revelation happened in 70 A.D., and I was just wondering what your opinion would be to go to that church. And I certainly do thank you, and God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a really good question. And when it comes to end times, there are quite a number of different viewpoints as to how the book of Revelation is going to be carried out.
Mm-hmm, right.
And there is one viewpoint that says all of that took place in 70 A.D. with the destruction of the temple. So they would say that Christ's millennial reign started at his resurrection and ascension, and that the kingdom of God has been going forward, and that one day it will all be consummated just simply in the second coming of Christ Jesus. So that eliminates any plan that God may have for Israel in the future. And that's why I don't necessarily agree with that interpretation. I think there is a distinct plan that is spelled out in the Word of God for Israel at a coming date. So we're in the age of the Gentiles right now. Both Jew and Gentile are hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. But since Pentecost, and since Israel as a nation kind of rejected Jesus as the Messiah, this good news has been going out into the Gentile world, and Paul carried that out there. Peter was the first to proclaim the good news to a group of Gentiles in Cornelius's household, and they were given the Spirit. And then Paul took the mantle, and he's carried it out around the world. And so since that time, this has been the age of the Gentiles, the age of grace to the Gentiles. And so there's been a temporary hardening as far as the nation of Israel is concerned. But at some point, God is going to circle back to them. So I think there is a plan of God for the nation of Israel somewhere in the future, and I think Revelation spells that out. So as far as going to that church, I would sit down with some of the leadership and ask some questions. What does this mean? How does this affect your view of the gospel of Jesus Christ? How does this affect your view of grace being the very power that propels us forward and enables us to live as children of God in this world of darkness? So how do you put all that together? And I think in having that conversation, you will get an idea as to whether you need to be in that church or not. But that viewpoint that all things were consummated at 70 A.D., that's been around for a long time, and many strong theologians have held to that viewpoint. That doesn't mean that just because you have this stable of theologians that looks pretty good as far as their resumes are concerned, that's a stamp that this is the true and right viewpoint.
Yeah.
So study all of that, go to the elders, have a conversation, and I think that will give you some idea of whether that's the church for you or not.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us. Bob, you posted a new video on YouTube, I believe, today.
We sure did, yeah. And it's a video that it's the simple question, why grace? Mm-hmm. And my good friend Larry Taunton, a number of years ago, his foundation, they conducted a survey of college students that identified as either agnostic or atheist. And they asked questions as to when this change happened, when they actually came to that point and said, I don't believe that God exists, or I'm not sure that God exists. What were some of the triggers that brought that about? And just time after time after time, these college students explained that they grew up in a church, but they never saw the message connecting to their everyday life. It was never made clear that Jesus was relevant to them, or this gospel of grace was relevant to them. Now, that's what this video is all about. Mm-hmm. If we're going to have a connection to God, then that only connection is going to be through the grace of God as expressed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. So not only do we answer that question, why grace, I have some circle diagrams, and I use these circle diagrams all the time,
yeah,
particularly in premarital counseling, mm-hmm, or in marriage counseling. And it really clears up a lot of confusion and questions. So I go through these circle diagrams, and we come out, and we have a full understanding as why grace.
Yeah.
And so if you're interested, go to our YouTube channel, take a look at this latest offering, and while you're there, be sure and subscribe, because every week we come out with a new question that,
yeah,
we answer. We call it Basic Gospel Answers. So, mm-hmm, join in, and that's a growing audience and a growing ministry. We want you to participate in it as well.
Absolutely. Well, of course, Basic Gospel, I believe, is a wonderful resource for getting into the grace of God. As a matter of fact, there's another event that's starting in just 8 days, tomorrow, as a matter of fact, 1 week. That's the Simply Grace Conference, a perfect venue to immerse yourself deeply into the grace of God in Christ Jesus. His grace is so deep that there's no limit to what we can learn about it. So join us on Friday evening and Saturday, September 6th and 7th, for the Simply Grace Conference right here in Lewisville, Texas. It's the ministry's Dallas area hometown. So for information and registration, simply go online to basicgospel.net/events. Again, that's basicgospel.net/events for the Simply Grace Conference. Well, Bob, we had this call also that came in overnight. Let's listen to this one from Joy in California.
Yes, this is Joy from California, and I just received your answer to my question about the mind, renewing the mind, for my friend who has schizophrenia. And I thank you so much for that wise answer, that the Bible is there to read, to come to know God better. I need that for myself. I think I read the Bible out of duty, and I don't receive a whole lot from it on my own. And I don't think I have a very good attitude towards it. But I think that your answer cleared it up for me. So thank you again. Your wisdom is just so simple and plain, Bob Christopher. And I appreciate your programs very, very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Well, Bob, you're just simple.
That's right. That is me. Well, I think the gospel is simple. I think it is easy to understand, and I don't think the Bible is a mystery book. It's very plain. It's the story of God as revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. It's His love letter to us. So if you've ever received a love letter, you don't just read it once. You read it and reread it and read it again, and you keep it with you. And why? Because it means something to you. Yeah. It's words that have spoken to your heart and have moved you. And that's what the Word of God is. It's God's love letter to you and me. And that love has been expressed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So we see this love that is being initiated, being poured out upon us by God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And then the Holy Spirit makes that real in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
So everything is God's love being directed toward us in and through Jesus. So when you understand that, when you understand that the Word of God is expressing that love to us, then it produces in you a desire to read more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So I said a lot of times we look at this as a manual for living, a guidebook, a problem solver. If you've got a problem, go find the verse and it's going to correct it. And we're missing the real story. We're missing the real power, the real substance of the Word of God. This is God's Word revealing himself to you and to me.
And
all of us want to know what God's like. Mm-hmm. All of us are interested. That's one of the things that occupies our mind just constantly. If there is a God, what is he like? Or I know there's a God, but I would love to figure out what he's all about, what he thinks about me, what he's concerned about, what his desires are. And we spend lots of thinking time on that particular subject. Well, we have a book that lets us know.
Yeah.
And we have a teacher called the Holy Spirit that takes the things of the Lord Jesus, that takes these spiritual words and gives us the spiritual discernment to understand what God is revealing to us about himself. So when you get that down, this Word of God just really comes to life for you.
Well, Joy, we appreciate you reaching out to us. It's good to hear from you as always. Bob, we've discussed this subject a couple of times in the last couple of days and many times through the years. This is from B, and the question is, would you please recap the events that will unfold upon the return of Jesus? Will we return to heaven with Jesus after the rapture, or will Jesus rule here first, then with the devil for 1,000 years?
Well, it's a little bit like the question that we had earlier.
Yes.
And like I said, I think when we try to get into the details of how it's going to occur, we really can bring confusion into the mix. People were trying to figure that out as far as the first coming of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. And most of the Jewish nation missed it. There were a few that were waiting, a few that were ready, but most of the nation missed it. Why? Because they didn't discern the Word of God correctly.
Right.
And I think that can be the same as far as end times are concerned. So here's what we do know, and I think this is important, that all of us who are in Christ have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have been marked out as children of God. And so when Jesus Christ returns, we're going to meet him. And we're going to be with him forever. And at some point, there's going to be a new Jerusalem that comes down. We're going to find our dwelling place there. That's going to be God's permanent dwelling place. And we're going to be with him forever. And we're going to be with the people of God forever. That's our hope.
Yes.
And that is what the Word of God points to, is our future with the Lord. So we're going to go be with the Lord. We're going to be with him forever. If we will just keep that in mind, everything else will kind of fall into place.
That's the bottom line. And thank you, Bob, for that. And friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. Tomorrow, we'll be back for the final session in our study, The Power of Eight. And again, I hope you'll be here for that. Friends, I want to remind you also that when you give to support Basic Gospel before midnight on Saturday particularly, you're going to receive the 6-CD series, audio series, and study guide called Gateway to Grace. It's a grace-filled month at Basic Gospel, and we want to help you tap into this grace-filled reservoir that we think that Basic Gospel is, because Basic Gospel always points you back into the Word of God. So click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift, and we're going to say thanks to you by sending you the study series called Gateway to Grace. Again, donate at basicgospel.net, but be sure to do that before midnight this Saturday. Also, remember the Simply Grace Conference coming up 1 week from tomorrow right here. The ministry's hometown of Lewisville, Texas. Get the information. Get registered at basicgospel.net/events. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for that final study and the Power of Eight on Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.